Silent scan. Silent scan.
Defiance.
Bombs and bits.
You can't control us.
Bombs and bits.
A frightening dystopia.
Bombs and bits.
Wake up.
Open your eyes.
Bombs and bits.
An alternate reality.
We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome to the fourth live edition of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm your dedicated and humble host, John Wildler, coming to you from an undisclosed location, hidden deep beneath the bowels of the earth. And with me is Mark, in a much less dramatic location, I assume.
Yeah, no, I'm just from Idaho.
And the missus.
Hello.
All right. Well, tonight's theme, and again, this is the Wednesday rant, so this is kind of more of an open format. Tonight's theme is Something Wicked This Way Comes. And I guess I'll do the setup.
Recording in progress.
Uh-oh. We're being recorded.
Sorry.
Now.
Sorry. I forgot to do that before I put us live. I'll get this technical thing down eventually, I promise.
We are good to go.
I'm half asleep. That's my excuse tonight. So if you hear slight snoring from my direction, just throw something heavy at me.
Well, you're around the corner, and if I could throw something like... Well, anyway.
If you could throw something heavy at me, you would have done so already.
Yes.
Fair enough.
All right. So tonight's theme is Something Wicked This Way Comes. I believe that was the title for a Ray Bradbury novel way back in the day. And you keep doing that. I have to keep
I'm
saying
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I told you it's the technical thing. I had to undo some stuff and then redo some stuff, and I had to redo it again so I can continue the other stuff that I was going to do later on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's actually from a line in, I think, Macbeth.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the Scottish play. Absolutely. That is 100% where that originally comes from. Yes. And yes. So anyway, as I wander about the internet on my usual haunts, it seems like there's a new gloom in town this August. And it's not just the stories. I mean, the stories are bad enough. We've got the fall of Kabul, Joe Biden's inability to conjugate verbs, looming shortages of everything from computer chips to potato chips to just regular basic food staples. I mean, tonight we tried to go out at a drive-thru and press the button. And I mean, we had to go literally two places. I mean, I know. Before we could get any service. I mean, it was...
Well, we do live in a really small town, so it's that one place or it's the other place. Yeah.
Well, yes. And honestly, we only have enough horsepower to staff one decent fast food restaurant. And sometimes it moves from one restaurant to another, but just, we got enough for one. But anyway, there are shortages, and you know, perhaps even China being poised to take over Taiwan while illegal aliens stream across the border in record numbers.
Oh, and don't forget.
Oh yeah.
Coronavirus.
And COVID.
Coronavirus. Coronavirus.
Oh yeah. And COVID-21 variant 6 strain 73. Get ready for your 43rd booster shot. No, I'm sorry, your daily booster shot. Brought to you by Pfizer. And then today, Elon Musk tweets, apropos of nothing, the guns of August, which is a phrase normally used to describe the start of the Balkan conflict that spread into the First World War. So I don't know. I get the feeling from a lot of different people and that we're at the brink, at the precipice of something not good. I mean, am I alone in this?
Are you? I'm
Apparently
sorry.
Apparently so.
Okay. Well, that's been.
And that's all.
I'm sorry about that. Well, you know.
All right.
First of all, I have to say I'm going to have to change my mind from last week where I said that Biden's going to last for another year, because you know I thought that they were going to leave him in till, you know, the midterm elections were through. But he's not going to last at this rate. He'll either collapse and die, or they'll have to remove him.
It is absolutely looking like that. I mean, we have clearly the least competent person in the Oval Office since the seventh or eighth year of Ronald Reagan's presidency.
Oh. I don't know. I think it's still a toss-up between Obama and Biden.
Well, again, when I say I mean less mentally competent.
Oh, mentally incompetent. Okay.
I didn't mean Obama's competent, but mentally, you know, he's just evil. So he's plenty smart. He's just evil.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's probably true. In reality, Biden, I think, is actually beyond even what Reagan was facing his last year. Biden, I think, is in Woodrow Wilson territory.
Yeah, I really do believe that that's the case. And so there's our presidency. And so tell me that the Russians and the Chinese don't notice this. I mean, if they want to make territorial gains, and you know, this is the time.
China.
Yes.
Gotta love that about President Trump. He sticks and runs.
Well, and certainly, I think you have a button, the missus, that you China. Can press to tell us how China feels about Taiwan.
Do I have that?
Yes, it's the one button I asked you to play. Early beforehand.
This one? Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and
desert you. And so
I have to do that to make it stop.
Otherwise,
I haven't figured out how to make this website stop yet. Otherwise, yeah, we'll just be continual. It'd be one long rec roll.
And
eventually that gets a little old. Have you noticed I like the sound effects?
I have. Because you're 12.
I am, yes. Wait, I have one for that. There you go.
Okay. So are you, outside of that, are you getting that sort of general sense as well, Mark?
Oh, yeah. COVID was supposed to be such a, you know, short shutdown, and it's dragged, and then everybody got their hopes up because the vaccines were coming out, and were supposed to work, and then they're not working, at least not the way they were telling us back in January through July, because they're not stopping infections in the people that have gotten it. You know, they may have less symptoms, reduced symptoms, but that's all it's doing. It's not preventing them from being infected. And you know, I think people are just tired of it. And obviously, Biden's melting down, and you know, there's a lot of people that are, I'm sure, on the Democrat side that are just thinking, you know, wow, maybe we would have been better off with Trump. I mean, you know.
They would never admit that, though. Let's be honest. A lot of us are tired of this whole coronavirus stuff, but a lot of us aren't. We were just talking about this earlier as we were waiting for the voice that would never come out of the clown's mouth. Right? John, that's who I'm talking to.
Yes. and when you look at that, I mean, there are folks who will never, ever, ever would say publicly that they would go for Trump, but they're missing him right now. I mean, at least they had someone in the office who they could admit they hated.
And they are kind of being forced to... sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm just going to say, I mean, you know, the morale of the country is just really low. I think it's the lowest since the Carter administration.
Well, you know, and we're talking about mandatory coercive injections of the various preparations. I don't want to call them vaccines because they're not technically vaccines. Some of them, I think the Sinovac is technically a vaccine, but
and those are the mildest. Those are the mildest things that people are saying you should be forcibly vaccinated.
Right.
That's the most reasonable thing they're saying.
Yeah, I've seen posts where people, and these are people on the left, are actively hoping that people who do not get vaccinated die.
Well, all this gleefulness, like this week that Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, I told you I was tired, the governor of Texas, was tested positive for corona, right? And he's vaccinated. He's done all the things he's supposed to do, according to the left. And yet they were just gleeful that he has this. It's astounding.
The left, frankly, their biggest wish would be for everyone to the right of them to die. I mean, they've
got
prominent,
I kill you.
Prominent, famous liberals have said that for quite a while. It's just ramped up more and more.
That's absolutely the case. So when we look at this, so far, I'm starting to see a few shortages show up around here in our central United States. Compound. Are you seeing any shortages up your direction?
We've been having shortages of different food items in the grocery store ever since the COVID thing began. And, they'll stock up on other stuff and everything, but yeah, you'll go in and you'll see empty areas on shelves at different times. I don't know whether it's a financial issue, like, a cash flow issue or a credit issue for the stores, or if it's, the supplies just aren't there, but yeah, I see that. And, thankfully we haven't had the toilet paper shortage again, but.
And here, I think we've been blessed because I've seen most of the shortages I've seen have been recently. And, things like, especially at the various restaurants, them just not being able to get certain kinds of food. And for the most part, they've been able to find substitutes to different types of food. But it's a little unusual in a country like the United States to start seeing shortages like that show up.
Go ahead.
The missus, what have you seen in the grocery stores? Have you seen any unusual shortages?
Nothing that's been consistent, and it's kind of weird things, and nothing that really just off the top of my head pops out. But I can recall going grocery shopping and saying, "Well, that's odd. Why don't they have that here?" Yeah. I tell you what it was. I was going to make the stir fry that all the boys in my house really liked the other night. And I was looking for water chestnuts. Just empty in the Asian section of the grocery store. No water chestnuts. That's a weird thing to run out of.
So you mean the Asian person in town must have stocked up, huh?
Well, I can't be the only person who likes water chestnuts in my stir fry.
But
it's weird that we're out of that, yeah.
Yeah, that is the weird sort of thing to completely run out of. I've heard of bottled water disappearing. I've heard, again, all sorts of various strange items starting to disappear depending on your locations. And of course,
see, and every time I've been in a store recently, the bottled water aisle is chock full.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, we're not in a drought like so much of the nation out to the west. Are you out in a drought in your location, Mark?
No, we have a drought, but they they haven't, at least to the best of my knowledge, they haven't implemented any restrictions on sprinkling yet or anything. You know, certainly doesn't impact our supply of water for daily use and everything. You know, the water, Idaho has very strict water laws regarding how water is allocated between users and so forth. And so, I don't think we typically don't, even though we may be in the same drought conditions as California, we generally don't see the, restrictions like you see in California. So that's mostly due to their own ineptness and so forth. But the plastic bottles, though, I had read earlier this year that there were some issues with getting plastic and plastic bottles manufactured. So I'm sure that shows up. I've noted, and you know, like going, a lot of times I just run into the store for things that my wife forgot, so I don't have a broad overview of it. But I've noticed that, you know, at times you'll go in and like the aisle for breakfast cereals will have a huge gap because some particular brand is just all gone and they haven't been restocked. Cleansers is another one. They do have a limit at the grocery store we go to where you're limited to only two bottles of a particular cleansing product.
So the rim shot was
what's that? Are you okay over there? Something made you laugh. We're in the same room and I have no idea what it was that made you laugh.
Whoa, what happened there? Oh, that was me.
Oh, sorry, I did that.
Okay. Anyway.
Coronavirus!
That's causing that. First sign.
Okay. So as we run through the Bing Bong News and Weather on the 8th with your crazy drive time crew. Okay. So shortages. What do you think about political stability in and around your area? Things are pretty stable around here, as far as I can tell.
Political stability in Idaho is good. I haven't seen or heard of anything to suggest otherwise. You know, but I mean, Idaho is almost a one-party state because almost all the office holders are Republican.
Are they actual Republicans, or are they Republican to get the office type Republicans?
Well, both. You know, I mean, both our senators recently voted for that, in favor of that 1 point, whatever it was, 2 billion or trillion bill or whatever. So,
yeah, and definitely we'll get to that on the podcast a little bit later, because that's a key thing that's happening, and that's not good as well, because inflation is starting to hit and chip away almost everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, our senators, for instance, well, we've got two. One is a guy by the name of Risch, and I think he's probably mostly conservative by political necessity, but given his background as a plaintiff's attorney. And then there's the other senator is a Mike Crapo, and I've noticed over the years that he's just trended more and more leftward on issues, particularly environmental issues and so forth. So, I mean, that's so we've got, yeah, nominally they're Republican, but there's No, I don't know. It's a good mix. You know, you've got the rhinos, of course, on one side, and then you've got, you know, others that are almost libertarian.
Well, and our senators here, they typically are helping patrol the borders in order to keep the Canadians out. You know, because, you know, we love the Canadians. I mean, the ones that listen to us. So, but you know, here things seem to be relatively stable. I get a sense, though, in California that seems to be crumbling for under Newsom. I think people are very tired of what liberalism has brought them.
Well, and these major Democratic politicians it's just getting harder and harder for them to cover up their narcissism and greed and everything else.
Cuomo.
Yeah, I mean, he's an example. You know, I think it's gotten harder for them to cover it up. I mean, people are seeing their hypocrisy. And for instance, I saw an article that I can't remember the author of it, but basically it was a liberal disappointed with Obama and his big birthday bash was the thing that opened her eyes.
And again, it seems like when they no longer have to be elected, they let their true selves out. And that, to be fair, that happens on the right as well. It also happens with certain Supreme Court justices that one would have thought would have been actually capable of reading the Constitution, but don't appear to be reading the Constitution. So that seems to be another part where things seem to be falling apart as well, though. Politically, just, you know, what are the group's thoughts on, you know, the $5 trillion in spending that Congress is getting ready to push forward?
Oh, you mean it's not normal for me to have to take a wheelbarrow full of cash in order to buy a sandwich?
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah, you know, I've always been interested in studying Weimar Germany. I just didn't want to have to live there to do it.
Well, and I mean, you know, I don't know if things will go as bad as Germany, but I mean, it could. But my concern is I don't see any reason why we won't be returning to, again, the Carter years. With, you know, the high inflation and so forth.
And again, I think that we're seeing, and again, I'll tease our podcast a little bit there. We're seeing some things that are coming together all at once that are very, very bad omens. You know, the first thing is, number one, they just expanded Medicare to people who are going to be 60 and older. And from the standpoint of, you know, people getting medical care, of course, that's wonderful. And, you know, who could be against that, except for heartless people like me? When you look at the expansion of Medicare was already set to financially collapse the United States by 2027. Add in another, 20 million people? How does that not slide that date close to 2024? So we're
nah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Let's print more.
We got more zeros. Just right. Add zeros.
That's right.
To quote everyone's favorite congressman from New York, actually congresswoman from New York. Well, money? If they put who pays the bills? Well, you just pay the bill.
You just print it.
Well, I think from a fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, things are coming together, and I don't know if. I guess my opinion is I don't know if it's an accident. I mean, the left has long pushed ideas of getting so many people on welfare that they can collapse the system and require, you know, everything to be redone, you know, basically a reset. And, you know, I feel like we're dropping into that, that's, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, there's some sort of shadowy network. And I don't mean like, you know, everyone's lockstep or whatever, but just, you know, this common philosophies and these networks where people communicate and sort of these ideas spread and plans. And
just call it what it is, the open conspiracy. They're saying what they want to do. They're not being quiet about it.
And they've been saying it for years. I, you know, the thing that really struck me today was, so a couple of the school districts in this area are going to be requiring masks for children in school, which is, you know, just insanity. And, you know, and if you, one of the districts I was hearing about was you can opt out of wearing the mask if you don't want to, but if there's an outbreak of coronavirus at the school, then the people that chose not to wear masks will have to go on a 2-week quarantine, but those that wore the masks won't have to. And of course, we all know that the masks are ineffective. And it just reminded me of that, you know, old line about those the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And, you know, really that's sort of what we're seeing, is just this a spreading insanity across the nation on so many things.
Well, and it's and not only that, you know, I could sit back and I can make very much a good case against masks. And you know what? I could make a reasonable case for masks. I mean, I could. But just to see the absolute levels of emotion on either side, people are done with this. They're done with each other.
Well, I mean, think people are just to the breaking point.
They are. They absolutely are. Again, that's where I keep coming back to. It feels like we are at that breaking point where all of these factors are coming into play, and they're coming into play right now. I mean, this is Art Bell talking about the quickening. I mean, it feels...
You know, and as far as masks in schools go, Mark, I don't know about your schools, but here where we are, schools were open all last year. Is that the same case in Idaho?
No, the decision was left to the individual school districts, but they in turn would pass the buck to the health district, and so it depended on which health district you were in whether or not your school district would close their doors.
Yeah, so, that's kind of the way, like, it was here too. Like, the big cities were out, but all the small school districts, and again, we live in a dinky, tiny town, so we were in. But the rules were different for all the school districts, yeah.
And that's pretty much, I think, the way that it happened here in Idaho, except that, you know, the health districts cover, there's only like 4 or 5 health districts for the state. So each health district will cover, you know, like, for instance, the district I'm in covers not only 2 of the most populous counties in the state, but several of the least populous counties in the state.
So I think my point on all of this is that, you know, we have all these schools opening back up, especially in the big cities on the coasts right now. But we have actual data from a lot of school districts from last year. So why aren't we looking at that and making our decisions based on that? You know, we in the Midwest last year, and this was, I think, at the end of December, and it was in either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal about the school district in Iowa, in Clear Lake, Iowa. And they had 33,000 quarantines in that district over the course of that semester. And would you like to know how many kids got sick from contact with people who had been diagnosed with COVID out of those 33,000? 0.
And I heard the same thing about this student athlete in Nebraska. He needed some game tape in order to get a college scholarship, and he was put on quarantine right before the last game of the year. And he appealed, and he said, listen, out of all the people in Nebraska that have been quarantined, no one has gotten corona. Let me play in this last game. Of course, the answer, no.
You may and he not. Never got sick.
And he never got sick.
Mm-hmm. And I understand erring on the side of caution. Again, you know, nobody wants, you don't want to be the person whose decision had allowed some kid to get sick and die. Nobody wants that, right? But at some point, maybe we're being a little too cautious. And that excess of cautiousness is maybe causing unforeseen and unintended consequences as well. That may be equally as bad. Suicides are up among kids.
And I think when you look at those unforeseen consequences, I completely understand. We're destroying society. We're destroying what has worked for decades, and we're doing it again and again and again. And we're ripping out conventions that have proven sometimes for centuries or millennia to have been great ways for humanity to live, ripping them out and ignoring them. And there is a consequence to that. Well, tell you what, we have been going right around 31 minutes. So now is probably a good time, since we've got another recording session after this that won't be live, to head on out. And so, Mrs., are you ready to rock us on out? Or do you have that button?
Well, I was, and that hasn't played yet.
Well, on that note, we'll be back next week with another edition of Bombs and Bants. And thank you for listening. I'm John.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the Mrs.
Take care.
Y'all come back now, you hear?